Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. President Biden will go to Israel on Wednesday.
The president will hear from Israel what it needs to defend its people as we continue to work with Congress to meet those needs.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken making the announcement less than an hour ago in Tel Aviv. He sent a warning to anybody thinking of joining with Hamas and attacking Israel.
President Biden will underscore our crystal clear message to any actor, state or non-state, trying to take advantage of this crisis to attack Israel. Don't. To that end, he's deployed two aircraft carrier groups and other military assets to the region.
The White House says the president will also go to Jordan for talks with Jordan and Egyptian leaders and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. CBS's Holly Williams in Tel Aviv has been talking with some of the 360,000 Israeli reservists who've been called up to fight.
Many of them have told us that that they want to go and fight in the Gaza Strip, that they see it as their duty. Of course, they must know, as everyone else knows in this country, that if they go in there, they're very likely going to see some quite bloody fighting.
And a ground operation is expected to start imminently. 71-year-old Joseph Shuba spending the night in a Joliet, Illinois jail. A day after police said he stabbed and killed a 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy and wounded his mother. CBS's Jeff Pagaz.
Prosecutors say Shuba targeted the family because they are Muslim and because of the ongoing conflict in the Middle East.
When this individual said, "You Muslims must die," this was a message not to the boy and the mother. This was to all of us.
Today, Shuba was charged with multiple counts, including first-degree murder and hate crime.
He was the family's landlord. The boy's funeral was held today. At a campaign event in Iowa, former President Trump has responded to a judge's order not to talk about people who may be involved with his trial for trying to illegally overturn the 2020 election.
They put a gag order on me, and I'm not supposed to be talking about things that bad people do. And so we'll be appealing very quickly.
Law enforcement officers in Georgia looking for four inmates who escaped from the Bibb County Jail in Macon.
One of the jailbreakers is a murder suspect. Bibb County Sheriff David Davis desperately wants to find them.
This is an all-hands-on-deck situation when something like this happens. So we certainly want people to call in. We have Crime Stoppers.
Davis says the group escaped through a damaged second floor window and cut a fence in the wee hours of the morning. They had a getaway driver waiting in a blue Dodge Challenger outside the jail. Bill Caiaccio for CBS News, Atlanta.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm Dr. Short.
Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Chippewa Falls man has been arrested after allegedly sending inappropriate and sexual messages to a person he believed to be a 15-year-old girl. According to the Chippewa Falls Police Department, 39-year-old Brian Anderson is accused of knowingly communicating with a person online for the purpose of meeting them for sexual encounters. He was taken into custody for use of a computer to facilitate a child sex crime, and several items were seized from his home as evidence to be analyzed. Supporters of Wisconsin's school choice program are preparing to fight a lawsuit that claims the program hurts the public school system. The lawsuit was filed last week by Kirk Bangstad, the owner of Minocqua Brewing, and argues school choice violates the Wisconsin Constitution. Rick Essenberg, president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, claims the lawsuit was filed for purely political purposes and the facts used in the lawsuit are misleading. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and 5 current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Protections to be restored to Anwar.
Yep.
Excellent news. We'll take it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. You're listening to the best of the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So on Tuesday, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey and Georgia Congressman Hank Johnson held a press conference to announce legislation to expand the Supreme Court from the current 9 to 13. The idea being the stated goal, restore legitimacy to the court. Can you believe we have to talk about this in this day and age? But here we are. Senator Markey highlighted what he said was head-spinning hypocrisy and called for undoing Republican thievery. Hit a chord with me when he said, hey, don't agonize, organize. Don't get mad, get to work. And that's why we've asked Senator Markey to come share some thoughts with us on how maybe we move this forward. Senator, thanks for taking time for us.
I love being with you. Thank you.
So this is not a new concept. It's happened some 86 years ago. What are the chances this legislation is going to move and we're going to actually get some sanity into the court? What are the chances of this getting through?
It's inevitable that it's going to move. And thank you for saying it's happened before. Originally, the Supreme Court only had 6 members on it. It's determined by Congress, not by the Constitution. And Abe Lincoln actually expanded it to 10 seats. Then it got reduced down to 9 seats, which is where it has been. So it's not 9 forever etched into the United States Constitution. This is different. And what's happening, obviously, is that we're living right now in the aftermath of a political heist of 2 Supreme Court seats by Mitch McConnell and by Donald Trump. When Antonin Scalia passed away, they developed a new policy saying, oh my goodness, we cannot confirm a new Supreme Court justice during a presidential year. So they kept the seat vacant for 430 days. Unbelievable. It was like eight seats for 430 days so that they could then put Gorsuch on after Trump won. Then this sacred doctrine goes right into the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So she passes away, and all of a sudden, in 30 days, right before the Trump reelection in 2020, they can confirm Amy Coney Barrett. 30 days, not 430 days.
Right.
So that's hypocrisy on stilts, and they swiped the 2 seats. Well, what are the consequences? Well, the repeal of Roe versus Wade, reducing safety measures for gun laws, and ultimately all union rights will be on the table, as will health, as will safety, laws, they're all going to be now on the table for a radical right-wing 6-3 majority in the Supreme Court. And what we need to do in order to rectify this heist is to increase the number of justices by 4 up to 13, and then that will restore the balance that otherwise would have existed if the Republicans had not stolen those seats. It would be 7-6, and then we can begin to restore precedent, restore some semblance of respect for what our country has become, and not this crazy nostalgia for a time that never existed that this Supreme Court majority now seeks to impose upon us, something from 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. And ultimately, I believe that every session of the Supreme Court, coming up, by the way, just in June of this year, they're gonna basically make 5 or 6 decisions that are gonna outrage the American people.
Right.
Then next June, they're going to do the same thing. And it's all going to build towards more and more members of the House and Senate signing on to the bill to expand the court and putting it on the ballot for 2024 as a big issue that all Americans are going to have to reckon with as they're going into the ballot box.
Yeah, I think it's important, as you pointed out, there are a lot of big things that get the attention. And when I talk to my conservative friends, you go, yeah, okay, fine, you're against the abortion rights. But all of these other things, all of this corporate stuff, the Roberts Court, in my view, probably the most corporate court in the history of our country. I saw a thing the other day that said when the Chamber of Commerce puts in a brief on any case, they win almost more than three quarters of the time, upwards of 80% of the time they win. You said union rights are on the chopping table, safe working conditions, all of this stuff that applies to working people every day that never gets the headlines. And I think that's stuff that has to be pointed out as well. The entire 20th century is on the chopping block.
Every single worker safety, job protection, union protection law is going to be on the table. They now have a home court advantage, a home Supreme Court advantage, and they're going to win every single time. Corporate yeah. America.
Well, what do you say to this?
Undermine those rights.
What do you say to the argument? Look, you know, Senator, you know, the Republicans just played the game better. They out-organized, they out-funded, they for decades have funded right-wing think tanks and media outlets and, the Federalist Society. They've got the infrastructure to build this juggernaut. They've just done it better. What do you say to that argument?
I say that we've got to do it better ourselves. That's why we have to expand the court. Now, people say, well, that is unseemly. We shouldn't do that. My answer is, when bullies steal your lunch money down the schoolyard, if you don't do anything about it, they're going to come back over and over and over again stealing your lunch money. So we've got to fight back. And the way to fight back, the way to stand up to bullies is to expand the court, to take back control that legitimately belongs in Democratic hands.
Now, what's interesting to me, and I had a conversation a couple of years ago with a conservative who told me, you know, actually it was the night that Trump was elected, said it's going to be interesting watching liberals become states' rights people and people learning just how important the Supreme Court is. And this was well before a lot of this stuff was in the headlines. And you look today, the anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education decision. You go in a couple of weeks, you're going to have the Loving anniversary of the Loving decision. All of this stuff that we take for granted, that's popular in the public, that people want, this court could conceivably overturn in the coming years, as you know, weeks, months, and years, as you pointed out.
We went 100 years after the Civil War thinking we had a 14th Amendment, a 15th Amendment. Thinking that we had a right to vote for all blacks in our country. Didn't happen. It took Martin Luther King Jr., took people like Thurgood Marshall being put on the Supreme Court, who was the lead lawyer in Brown versus Board of Education, by the way, in 1953, in order to begin to implement what the promise was of the Civil War in terms of protecting the rights of minorities in our country. So, that's something that really sticks in the craw of these of these very conservative, especially red state Republicans who want to go back to a time before the civil rights movement. And so if we're not